What a week. How many of you had a great week? Yeah. I think every week that we're in the Lord, no matter how tough it may be, it's a great week. Amen. Hey, so if you have your Bibles, I asked you last week to bring your Bibles. We're going to be doing something new. We're going to be in the book of Esther. How many of you know where the book of Esther is? How many of you know it's in the Old Testament? Yes. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, then Esther. Esther is before Job and before Psalms. So if you, even if you have your iPad or your iPhone, you can turn there to the book of Esther. And there's something new that I'm trying out, going through a book of the Bible, so you can feel free to send me some comments if you like it or you dislike it or whatever it may be. But before we go further, let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, for the King of Kings that you are, the Lord of Lords who you are. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, as we go through this book, open our minds, open our hearts, open our eyes and ears to see what you have for us. Help us to learn many lessons from this book. Teach us, Lord. We say yes, Lord, to whatever you have for us this morning. Open our ears, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love this book. Maybe I love this book for the wrong reasons. How many of you read the book of Esther before? Yeah. And I love, you know how the saying goes, what goes around comes around? And I like this book because what goes around comes around and you get to see it. And maybe it's for the wrong reasons because there's many other great lessons in this book. So in Esther 1, now it took place in the days of Ahasuerus. He was a king. Ahasuerus, he had many different names, Xerxes, and who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. So there's a map I want to show you, and the red area, that's how big of an area this guy ruled. It's like almost the whole Middle East. I mean, that is a pretty big kingdom. This guy must have been a very powerful king. So that's why I wanted to show you that map too, so you can see, like, man, this guy was in charge of this. He ruled over this, and it was a big area. Okay, so in verse 2, in those days, as King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne, which was at the citadel in Susa, in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his princesses and attendants, the army officers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of his provinces being in his presence. And he displayed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor of his great majesty for many days. 180 days. Imagine having this thing going on for 180 days. Back in those days, these guys, they like to show off their wealth, and they put it on display. I don't know if it was a pride thing, so look at, like, my stuff is greater than your stuff. You know, when we go fishing, right, we bring 15 ulua poles, but we only use one just to show everybody else how much stuff we get. You know, I know friends who get like 30 conventional reels. I thought, but can you use all 30? No, then why you get 30? Oh, cuz. And so back in these days, I think sometimes we're the same way, where you come to my house and I will display all my tools just to show off. And then you will ask me, oh, can you come and fix this for me? Yes. Yeah. So he was showing off his stuff. So when these days were completed, the king gave, now after this, he gave a banquet lasting 7 days for all the people who were present at the citadel in Susa. From the greatest to the least, in the court of the garden, the king's palace, there were hangings of fine white and violet linen, held by cords of fine purple linen, of silver on silver rings and marble columns, and couches of gold and silver on mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones. So this must have been a very elaborate place. Drinks were served in the golden vessels of various kinds, and the royal wine was plentiful according to the king's bounty. The drinking was done according to the law. There was no compulsion, for so the king had given orders to each official of the household that he should do according to the desires of each person. Queen Vashti, his queen, gave a banquet separately for the women in the palace which belonged to the king. Okay, so in verse 10, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry, wow, it took him 7 days to finally feel it. Well, this guy was a man, huh? You know what I'm saying, right? He commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagatha, Zithar, and Carcass, the 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring the Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and the princes, for she was beautiful. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command delivered by the eunuchs. The king became very angry, and his wrath burned within him. Wow. How many of you guys would drink some drinks and grab your wife and parade them before your friends? Look how good-looking my wife is. Something was wrong here. And, you know, here was this really powerful, drunk king with his friends. And then he tells his servants, go get Queen and, you know, dress her up or not and bring her out in front of us. And, you know, I have no problem with people having a drink. But to get drunk and cause someone to stumble, that I believe is when we cross the line. And I, from reading this, you look at this powerful king who's been drinking. And I said it many times and I've done it many times. Drunk people do stupid things. I did that many times. How many of you know when you're in this state of mind, it's best just to be alone in a room, and I hope you never get to that state of mind. Okay. So then in verse 13, the king said to the wise men, this is his so-called friend who he hanging around, who understood the times, for it was the custom of the king so to speak before all who knew law and justice, and were close to him. Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marcena, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media who had access to the king's presence, sat in the first place in the kingdom. So like his advisors, according to the law, is to be done with Queen Vashti because she did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus, delivered by the eunuchs. In the presence of the king, I think maybe his pride was hurt, but in the presence of the king and the princes, Memucan said, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also all the princesses, meaning she kind of like never listened to the king, so she ruined him and the rest of the guys around him. And all the peoples who are in the provinces of the king, Ahasuerus, for the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, causing them to look with contempt on their husbands, saying, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought into his presence. But she did not come. You know, it tells you that But it failed to tell the people why she did not come. Because she was just to be paraded in a bunch of drunken fools. And if I did that to my wife, she wouldn't come. If you did that to your wife, they wouldn't come. Right? I mean, why? So people would know that the queen, they would see that, oh, the queen just didn't listen. And this day, the ladies of Persia and Media who have heard the queen's conduct will speak in the same way to all the king's princesses. And there will be plenty of contempt and anger. So this is the advice of his leaders. If it pleases the king, let a royal edict be issued by him and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media so that it cannot be repealed, that Vashti may no longer come into the presence of the king Ahasuerus, and let the king give her a royal position to another more worthy than she is. And so now they're telling him, write this law, which when they write this law, it is law, you cannot repeal it. You cannot say, oh, I changed my mind 1 month later. So he's saying, okay, write this law saying, okay, now because the queen has disobeyed you, and when other women hear this, they're not going to listen to their husbands either. So write a law, just like making her example, that because you never listened to the king, now you banned from his presence forever. Here's the thing. One of the valuable lessons that I wish I had caught this when I was younger, never make a decision under the influence. How many of you chose to get behind the wheel of a car after being drinking? How many of you cracked up? Only me. Oh. Yeah, at least I'm honest. How many of you cracked up twice? Only me. Three times? Only me. If I wouldn't learn this kind of stuff before, maybe I would have, you know, got some sense. But now, what is worse is, here's a bunch of drunk guys telling a drunk king, a powerful drunk king, what to do because the queen refused to be paraded in front of a bunch of drunk people. Now, they're about to go. I believe they're going to go from bad to worse. Okay? So when the king's edict, which he will make, is heard throughout the kingdom, great as it is, then all women will give honor to their husbands, great and small. This word pleased the king and his princesses. Of course, you know when you're mad, right? When you're mad and you're drunk and you make a decision, that's wrong plus wrong don't equal right. And the king did as Memucan proposed. So he sent letters to all the king's provinces, and to each province according to his script, and to every people according to their language, that every man should be the master in his own house and the one who speaks in language of his own people. So that's chapter one. So he done all this. Chapter two. After these things, okay, when the anger of King Ahasuerus had subsided, probably he's sober now, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he had decreed against her. Then the king's attendants, you know, so he did that. And knowing him, he probably had regrets. The king's attendants who served him said, let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king. So now the search goes, yeah? The search goes for a new queen. But he was thinking about her, remembering her. I mean, if you made a decision angry and drunk, under extreme stress, maybe you made a decision before asking God, later on come to regret it. I have learned from this book and from experience, ask God first. Then ask God first, make sure your mind is clear, make sure you're sober, meaning you're alert, make sure you're not angry. Ask God, then make the decision. But sometimes we wait before we make decisions. We wait and we wait and we wait. We wait and we wait. We wait for the ideal conditions. Ideal conditions never come. The next thing you know, a year passes, 2 years passes, and we're still waiting. Done that, been there. That's why when I say I'm going to go fishing, I will go fishing. We went fishing a day before a hurricane. Right, Kimo? Who else was with me? Kimo was with me. I know we went fishing a day before a hurricane. Because if I waited for the perfect conditions, I would never have gone. The rescue helicopter, the orange and yellow one, landed on our campsite, told us a hurricane is coming, and said, we know we're leaving before the hurricane tomorrow morning. We caught a bunch of fish. We got out of there. Hurricane never came. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to do things. You just got to. And because if you wait and you wait and you wait, you never get it done. So, chapter 2, verse 3. Let the king appoint overseers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather every beautiful young virgin to the citadel of Susa, to the harem, into the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women, and let their cosmetics be given to them. Let the young lady who pleases the king be queen in place of Vashti. So they're doing the search for a new queen. The matter pleased the king, and he did accordingly. Now there was at the citadel in Susa a Jew whose name was Mordecai. So these guys were, the Jews were there because they were captives, yeah? The son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite from the tribe of Benjamin, right? Who had been taken into exile from Jerusalem with the captives who had been exiled along with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had exiled. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had no father or mother. Her father and mother passed away. Now the young lady was beautiful in form and face, and when her father and mother had died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So it came now about when the command and the decree of the king was heard, and many young ladies were gathered to the citadel of Susa into the custody of Haggai, that Esther was taken to the king's palace into the custody of Haggai, who was in charge of the women. Now, if you understand here, she was taken. Didn't say that she was given a choice to come or to go. You know, she was an orphan. She probably didn't have a very good start to life. They came, they took her away. I'm not sure if she ever got to go back, but they took her away. Good stuff, bad stuff, whatever you may be going through, you know, here's the point. No matter what, God has a plan for you. I think that's one of the key things that we can get out of this book of Esther. That good stuff, bad stuff, whether it's brought on by your actions or brought on by other people's actions. Maybe somebody hit you in an accident and you're suffering. Maybe you have health issues. Maybe you're in debt. In debt. Maybe you're struggling with something. Whatever the result, whatever it is, know and understand that the God who saved you, the God who loves you, has a plan. Esther had no choice in the matter. It says she was taken. You know, God always gives us a choice whether to come to him or not to come to him. But sometimes he puts adversity in our life so that it's like, I call it like a nudge. And that nudge can either push you closer to him, which I hope it does, Or some people just, it just rebels. I've done both. Okay, I've done both. When I was 17, something happened to my youth leader. And instead of drawing me closer to God, it pushed me farther away because I got angry at God. And I was angry with God for 20 years. Then I finally came to my senses and I realized. Then I came back and I drew closer to God. Yeah. So God has a plan for you. And sometimes if that plan is taking long to unfold, it may be because you are hesitant to obey. Maybe the ball is in your court now, and you have to take that first step in faith. Amen? So now the young lady that pleased him, the king, and found favor with him, with Haggai, so he quickly provided her with cosmetics and food and gave her 7 choice maids from the king's palace and transferred her and her maids to the best place in the harem. Esther did not make known her people. So she did not make known to the people that she was Jewish. For Mordecai had instructed her that she should not make them known. Every day, Mordecai walked back and forth in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther and how she fared. So you can see like a worried dad walking back and forth looking, oh, wonder how she is. Wonder how she's doing. Now, when the turn for each young lady came, they took turns, yeah, to go into the king after the end of her 12 months under the regulation. So these ladies took 12 months, yeah, for the days of the beautification were compelled as follows: 6 months with oil and myrrh, 6 months with spices and cosmetics for women. Man, 1 year to get them prepared to see the king. I'm glad my wife looked good the way she does. And, you know, few minutes of makeup, which I tell her she doesn't need, and she's ready to go. Imagine if she took 1 year to get ready. Oh, crazy, huh? These ladies, I mean, 12 months, I just think, like, what did they look like? Just kidding. The young lady would go into the king in this way. Anything that they wanted. You know, they could have the nicest dress, the prettiest materials, choke perfume, lace, whatever they wanted was given to her from the harem at the king's palace. In the evening, she would go in, and in the morning, she would return to the second harem, to the custody of Shazgaz, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not again go into the king unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. So that was it. You had one chance to please the king. And if you didn't, pow, gone. Your history. I don't know if they... I was hoping that they would go back to their families, but it doesn't say that here. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai who had taken her as his daughter, came to go into the king, she did not request anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the woman, advised. So she said, you know, I'm not taking anything unless you tell me. And Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus, to his royal palace, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Verse 17. The king loved Esther more than all the women. She found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Queen! Who could imagine this orphaned young lady raised by her uncle, taken, not by choice, now becomes queen. Now you wonder, like, whoa, what has God in store for her? Then the king gave a banquet, a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all the princes and his servants. He also made a holiday for the provinces and gave gifts according to the king's bounty. When the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Esther had not yet made known to her kindred or her people, even as Mordecai had commanded her, for Esther did what Mordecai had told her that she has done under his care. So still yet, the people, the king, they don't know that she's Jewish. In those days, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Bigtha and Teresh, two of the king's officials from those who guarded the door, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So they were planning to assassinate the king. But the plot became known to Mordecai. So Mordecai now has an inside connection to the king, right? So Mordecai told Queen Esther, and Esther told the king. Now, when the plot was in, so the king hears of this, and he investigates this, and he found this to be so. So they were both hanged in the gallows, as it was written in the book of the Chronicles of the King's presence. So maybe Esther was made queen to save the king. Could be. Here's the thing. God's plan are always good. God, even sometimes when they've maybe, how many times do you feel like you're in so much pain? How can my God allow this to happen? Yeah? Believe me, God's plans are always good, even sometimes when they hurt. How many of you had to spank your kids and you say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? Yeah, you've probably done that. You probably had that said to you. And as a parent, you understand it. As a kid, you don't understand. It's like, I'm the one getting the cracks. How can this hurt you? You're the one cracking me. But inside, man, it breaks a dad's heart to have to spank his kids because it hurts. And sometimes, you know, like the Bible said, God disciplined those whom he loves. I mean, if you clearly don't discipline your kids, I don't know, maybe you don't love them enough to correct them. Yeah? Here's it. God's plans are always designed for our good. Yeah? They're always designed for our good, for our future. Sometimes we, you know, decisions in life, how do we know what will be good? What can we do? You know, back then, king made some bad decisions, ended up losing his queen, having to find another queen. All that happened for a reason. But when we're faced with things that we need to do, we need to ask. We need to ask. And yes, ask God first, but you can, if you have good, godly friends, it's okay to ask them, but you always ask God first. And whatever friends you have and whatever advice you get from them, try to confirm it with the Word of God. James always says this. James says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask. When we need help, when we're in struggles, when we're facing difficult things like Esther was, ask. Next one, be faithful where you're at. Whatever situation you may be in, whatever you may be struggling with, be faithful. Still do your devotion, still do your prayers, still hang out in your fellowships, still meet in your small groups, still pray. Matthew 25, Jesus says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. I think, you know, when we do Bible study and one person shows up, oh, I'm going to cancel class today, only get one. If we cannot be faithful with that one person who shows up to class, How are we going to be faithful when 50 people show up? You know, if we're not going to be faithful if 10 people show up here, how are we going to be faithful when God brings 20, 30, 40, 100, you know? Be faithful right where you're at. In your trial, in your circumstances, be faithful. Next one, listen. Listen to what God is saying, or listen to what he's not saying. Because maybe you're ready to take a step in the wrong direction. He's silent. Listen. And how do you listen? Sometimes we sit in prayer and we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk. You ever tried talking to somebody who's, you ever tried getting a word in and somebody who's just keep talking and talking and talking and they don't let you in? It's hard to listen when you're talking. In Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, to you, O sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. You know, we got to stop. We got to understand that God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So the things that are written in the Word are for us today. It's relevant for us today. And James, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. There is no variation in him. He's not going to change his mind today or tomorrow. So we've got to listen. And we listen by getting into his word. Amen? Wait. Sometimes we got to wait. And how many of you hate to wait? You know what helps me in these situations? When I really need something and I want something, I go and buy it from Amazon, because then I got to wait. I got to wait. Check the mail. It's not here. Where is it? And oh, it teaches you, wait. And sometimes the Lord will not answer you right away. Just got to be faithful where we're at and wait. But as for me, I will wait. Watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Michael was speaking for himself in the godly remnant mentioned throughout this book. And he was saying that even though the nation was in terrible shape, he would continue to watch and wait in hope for the Lord. Sometimes your life right now might be difficult. You may think that it's in terrible shape, but wait. But don't wait without doing something, you know. Do your regular things and be faithful. You know, a lot of times too, God gives us more than one choice. We just got to use wisdom. Like James said, ask for wisdom. You might be waiting right now for God's plan to be revealed in your life. You may be saying, you ever thought like, wow, God, why am I here? What is my purpose? Because I am not here just to take up space and to eat food. You know, I'm here for something. And I, like I said, before I came to know Christ, every New Year's Eve, I used to sit down with my friend, both in drunken states, and we would ask, what did we do this year? And every year, year after year, nothing much. Really nothing much. I changed job. Nothing significant. Man, after coming to know Christ, what did you do this year? Man, I got to share Jesus with a whole bunch of people. And some will probably be in heaven because God used me to reach them. Think about it. You may be waiting for God's plan to be unfolded in your life. And while you're waiting for that, be faithful. Keep listening. Keep waiting. Keep reading. Keep the faith. Amen? So next week, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Next week, we're going to continue. And in the next 2 weeks, we're going to get through the book. And I'm sure, I tell you what, it gets really, really gets exciting. If you want to read ahead, go ahead and do so. But next week, I encourage you, bring your Bible. We are going to continue in the book of Esther. It's a wonderful book, and there's many, many lessons that we can learn together. Amen. Let's pray while the team comes up. Lord, I pray that as we have read these first two chapters of Esther, that many gems may have been gathered by your people, that we have learned many things, that when we leave here, we have things that we can apply into our lives immediately, and that from the lessons we have learned, when we leave here, we will be better, we will be wiser, we will have more knowledge in how to live life, and we will understand clearly that you are in control and that you have a plan for our lives, no matter where we are at. So, Lord, I pray that each one, that a seed was planted in fertile soil this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.